You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have an amazing guitar extraordinaire, Mr. JP Cervoni. How are you, JP?
Hello, hello, hello from sunny California.
That's right. And what's the JP stand for, by the way?
My real name, my Italian name is Giampaolo.
Giampaolo!
Which is John Paul.
Right.
You know what I mean? John Paul. But when I immigrated to Canada and I couldn't speak English, you know, 17 years old, and people were asking me, hey, what's your name? And I could only say Giampaolo. And my Canadian friends couldn't really say it till they figured out that it was John Paul, and somebody went, oh, fuck it, JP, call him JP. That's how we came in, yeah.
Well, you know what? It's like, what part of Italy did you come from, too?
A little village between Rome and Naples, right in the middle.
What was it called?
Ceprano.
Ceprano, that's awesome. I've been all over Italy. I haven't been there. It's south of Rome?
South of Rome, north of Naples. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, 40 miles down, right in the middle of it. You know, it's an hour for me to go to Rome, an hour for me to go to Naples.
And did you start playing music in Rome? Did you start, like, learning?
Yeah. I had a very successful band when I was a kid not in Rome. I never really went to Rome. I stayed in my little village. But, you know, in Italy, as you see from, you know, TV shows, in Italy you got a little village, then there's another village, another village, another village, another village. They're all, like, 10, 20, 30 miles for each other with their own accent.
Right.
But they but I had a famous band, my own band. I was a kid, though. I mean, I was, you know, a teenager. And I had a famous band, so I would play all the little towns around. I had a lot of following that come and see me play all the time.
That's amazing. And what kind of venues? You played bars and things like that?
At the time, there were places where people would like to go dance. So there were big halls where you would have to bring your own PA. Right, and it would take a lot of people in. Like sometimes in Italian people would use them for weddings,
right?
You know what I mean, that kind of thing. So I play a lot of that, and then there were a few club like restaurant club like, you know. But they were set up to have a show though, to have a stage. So it was pretty fun.
Well, I love Italy. I've been all over Italy. I've been to. Yeah. Rome, obviously, Florence, and
nice.
Cinque Terre. I've been to Sorrento. I've been to Capri.
Nice.
All over. I've even been to Sicily. I just went to Sicily about 2 years ago. So I have a special place for Italy.
Nice. Good for you.
Interesting that you're a guitarist in the blues genre and you come from Italy. That's just like such a cool... like combination. Did you ever hear Jeff Beck do Nessun Dorma when he did the aria on guitar? Did you ever hear that?
No, I did not.
It's pretty awesome. He took like a famous, I studied classical music, so I spent a lot of time in Italy because I was singing opera. And, and Jeff Beck combined a famous aria called Nessun Dorma and he played it.
But played
it. It's amazing.
I can only imagine Jeff playing some beautiful melody. I don't think there's anybody that can play a melody with a guitar and make it sing like Jeff Beck. I don't know anybody that can do that, man.
Yeah, I thought it was actually such a novel idea because usually that is a song that is sung. And he made it sing in a totally different way. And I was like, only Jeff Beck could really
Only Jeff Beck could go that far, man.
Oh, it's such a cool idea. But yeah. Were a lot of your friends listening to a lot of English blues and rock blues.
That's how I grew up. I was lucky at my time in Italy when I was a kid. There was a radio called Radio Luxembourg, very famous at the time. We're talking about 50 years ago. And the Radio Luxembourg would only play, beyond the obvious Beatles and Rolling Stones.
Right.
But you will get everything else that will come in. You know, you will get Blues Image. You will get Iron Butterfly. You will get, you know, early Yardbirds, that kind of stuff. And then a lot of blues not from the black side, sort of a little bit more modern, you know, Gary Moore,
yes,
that kind of thing, right? You know, but all early stuff too, you know, which was pretty well blues-based, man. Blues, definitely blues-based.
I know you're heavily influenced by Hendrix. Do you remember what that moment of Zen was like for you? Was he the person that made you want to pick up a guitar and start learning?
Actually, no. Interesting enough, I was not into Hendrix when I started. When I started playing guitar, my people, the people that I learned from were, I mean, specifically, Paul Kossoff from Free, a lot of Paul Kossoff, a lot of Leslie West, and a lot of Rory Gallagher. So those were my three guys, Rory Gallagher, Leslie West, Paul Kossoff. And when Hendrix came in, it was, since I was so much into, like, another band that I used to say, which the guitar player was great, man. This guy ended up being sort of famous because he ended up being the guitar player from Alice Cooper, among other people. Mike Pinera.
Okay.
Mike Pinera was good, man, in a band called Blues Image.
Okay.
With a 335, B.B. King style, but of course pissed off with a Marshall, you know.
Right, right. So I had some, had some distortion.
Yeah, and so I had all, I would hear so much of those kind of licks, blues bass, you know. You Shock Me, you know, those kind of songs. So when first Hendrix came through and I heard, and I went, wow, this is cool, but this is, you know, it was off for me. There was not enough blues in it, right? So the way I got to Hendrix, it was, the reason why Buddy Miles liked me, because I got picked up by Buddy Miles when I immigrated to Canada.
Right.
And of course, you know, I had a band with Buddy, me, Buddy, and a bass player. Either we would go out on the road as a three-piece, or we would go out on the road as a 16-piece with horns, keyboards, percussion, and everything. And I would play the exactly same songs, either with 16-piece or with three-piece, which it was a challenge, man.
Wow.
You know what I mean? For me to, okay, because all of a sudden I'm by myself, man.
Right, right.
Playing these songs, you know, that kind of thing. But no, you know, if I would have to answer that question, how do you get to Hendrix? I think it was an indirect thing because, one, I play guitar left-handed backwards as well. So I play left-handed with the IE up, right? Which it allows me, since your hand, my IE is up here, right? You know, instead of down, like you know, normal guy, right? I have enough power, you know, my hand naturally does this.
Right.
And so I can really bend, you know, I can really bend this bridge. I have a great vibrato if I want to have a vibrato, you know, that kind of thing. So that gave me some sort of a sense of, you know, because Hendrix bends a lot, stretch, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And the other one was more on the way that I didn't know at the time, other than Buddy Miles explained that to me. It's the feel that I had when I was playing. Because Buddy, I asked him, I said, Buddy, but, you know, you pick me up from Canada. So I'm a little kid up in Canada, could barely speak English.
Right.
You're going back to LA where you live. Because he told me, he said, oh, he saw me up in Canada. We jammed like crazy and said, you're coming back. I got a record deal with, a new record deal with Atlantic Records. I want you to be the guitar player. And that's what he did. He called me, came pick me up at LAX, blah, blah, blah. But I did ask him eventually. I said, no, why would you want to, why would you get me? You go back home, you know, there's so many people in LA, you know, there's a lot of talent. And he said, no, JP. Italian musicians, you have an Italian upbringing, right? You got Italian blood. Italian musicians, to me, play like black musicians.
Wow.
You guys have the same funky feel as the black musician. It's not the same if I play with a French dude. It's not the same if I play with a German dude. Maybe some of the English guys. But you guys are like, I don't know if it comes because Italian are like family orientated, like us black people, or, you know, family. Right. So, but you guys got the same feel of us black musicians. That's why I get from you is the funkiness, the funky thing and everything.
The roots of music, because like there's so much roots of music in Italy, you know, with...
But, you know, Italy, Italy is, you know, it's a lot of... If you go from Rome down and Naples and everything, it's a lot of talented people, man. They feel the music.
Right.
They definitely feel... I mean, obviously, non-excluding all the opera and all the stuff that everybody, you know, with the Italian, the classical music.
But that's what I love, is their passion. You know,
passion. This passion. Passion is the word, because when I play with Buddy... It wasn't about the chops. It was about the passion.
Right.
It was about closing your eyes and let the muse come through.
Yeah.
And then you go there. And then you go. And so you're not really playing guitar. You could be playing the flute, man. Made no difference.
Right.
You know, that was the gig, that we would play like that. We would feel each other and just, Buddy would just close his eyes and just go at it. And you know what I mean? And I think Hendrix played like that.
Well, and the story is you jammed with Buddy, right? Like it was like a impromptu kind of jam.
Yeah. My Canadian cousin, which was Italian, but obviously Canadian, you know, which I mean, he spoke perfect English, Canadian Italian. I told him, I said, "Wow, Buddy Miles is coming London." We were in London, Canada, Ontario. I said, "Let's go see Buddy. You know, I'm a big fan." Blah, 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 blah. So we go there and we see him. And my cousin had the balls to go after the show because to do meet and greet, right?
Right.
So you want to go there, say hi, you know, sign an autograph and everything. So I couldn't really speak too much. But my cousin went there and he said, "Hey, buddy, my cousin JP, he kicks ass on guitar, man. This guy is mean." You know, that kind of vibe. And Buddy talked and said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, look, I'm playing tomorrow night too, here at the same club. Yeah, two nights, right?" So just come down. "Come, I'm going to call you. We'll jam."
Wow.
So that's what he did. Yeah, so that's what he did. So I came back, he called me, and we played the Red House.
Wow.
Red House together, you know what I mean? And
Did he play the drums on the original of that?
Oh, that I don't know.
Okay.
I would say no. He played the version that was on Electric Ladyland.
Well, that's a very famous
cover version with Steve Winwood, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Right. The original, no, I think it was the, you know, the white boys, the English guys.
Yeah, Mitch Mitchell.
Mitch, and yeah, right. No.
Right.
And so we jammed that night. We played, you know, Red House like crazy. And then from that night, he said, "Hey, come with me, because I have a studio booked." So from the gig, the second night gig, he took me to a recording studio all night. And we jammed and recorded with the whole band.
Wow.
And so the next day he said, "I'm going back to LA. I'm going to call you. I got a record deal. And I want a whole new band. And I want you to be the guitar player." And that's what happened.
That's crazy. What like big shoes to fill just to play that song.
Yeah.
That played it with Hendrix. Were you nervous? Nervous at all?
No.
You were just ready.
No, I was ready, man. I was ready. I knew that I had something. I knew. Well, because I came from, even though I was in a little vigil in Italy, but my band was very successful, and I played for hundreds and hundreds of people that all come around and love what I did. So I knew that I had something, that I'm waking people up when I play. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I knew that. And plus, you know, I'm there listening to... I can play just like Mac Pinera. I can play just like Gary Moore. So I said, "Well, okay, man." It didn't scare me. And I said, "Well, I can play Crossroads as good as Clapton any day of the week."
Right.
You know, I could just play Crossroads just like him if I wanted to, or every lick on Haul Along the Watchtower. Not that easy, man. Because I hear everybody do it right, and I don't want to say. I don't want to turn any big name down. But, you know, this G3 stuff that they happen and everybody trying to play, blah, 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 blah. they hit All Along the Watcher. I haven't heard anybody playing it right, man.
Right.
I don't care who you are.
Right. The Hendrix version.
The Hendrix version, man. Yeah. Every single lick. You know, those licks are like, those licks are licks, man.
Well, let's play the little the video that you have of you playing that song.
Oh, yeah. You're probably, I'm sure you hear it, yeah.
I have it. Sam, I think we have, it's under, let me see what it's under.
Yeah, it's probably a little few clips so that I'm playing probably some of those leads.
I think we have it under, Sam, you may be able to see it. It's, let me see where it is. I'm going to tell you real quick. Hold on. We have it under, Sam, do you see it? Oh, you have it. Sam's got it. We're going to play this. Here's a little taste of JP Cervoni playing some Hendrix. Here we go.
This is JP Cervoni. This is a no studio, no lights, no tricks, no makeup, no shaving, no nothing. Just me and my guitar. Peace. We'll be right back.
awesome. Awesome, awesome guitar playing. First of all, I got to ask you, what are you playing through? Because you got great guitar tone. Are you playing the same rig in all these videos or most of them? What do you play through?
Mezza Barba amps. I don't know if you can see that. They're Italian made Mezza Barba.
Mezza Barba. I don't know. Mezza, those.
Yeah, Mezza Barba amps. I'm going to show you.
Are they 212s or is it a 10?
No, it's a... Mine is 100 watts. This is the name of the band.
Okay. 100 watts, and what's the size of the speaker?
412.
That makes sense.
We made a couple switches. We started with 412 Greenback 25. Then we went down to Celestion 20s, like Van Halen one.
Yeah.
And then we ended up with what we like best now, which is Vintage 30s.
Awesome. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
But that's my big rig, okay?
Right.
Which I sort of don't really like to use it no more, to be honest.
Yeah, probably.
It doesn't really matter on stage. It doesn't matter if you got a 212 or 412 or dope, man, whatever, man. You know, it's up to the sound man out there. And so what I do, actually, you can't... I don't know if you, hold on.
This is the guitar nerd in me to ask all these questions.
No, it's okay. I see down there?
Yep, yep.
There's a 112 Mezza Barba, right?
Yeah.
What I did is I put in the original. It comes in with a Greenback, but I took the Greenback out and I put in a Celestion Heritage 75.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So then I have a 112, nice and small, with my head on it. It fits just perfect, but it's just a little compact thing that I can put in my car.
And that's what, 50 watts or 30 watts?
That one there is 75 watt speaker.
5 watts.
So 75 watt speed the speaker, and my head is 100. But you know, you don't play. You know, on whatever, right? You know, master is probably a 3. You know, that kind of vibe.
What are you using for your overdrive for pedals?
The only one that I use now is a full tone, but. It's a specific one. Where is it? What's it called? You know, the white one, the full tone. What's the name of that thing?
The OCD?
Yeah, the OCD. But, you know, they make 6-7 version dummies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got the one that is the good one.
Well, it's funny because I have that pedal. My favorite lead tone is actually, I put it on a record about 14 years ago, and it is the OCD. A carbon copy analog delay and love pedal. Do you know the love pedal?
Of course.
The love pedal Eternity. Those three together, that's my favorite lead tone that I've ever
I would say I'd be the same.
And it was a pin and an AC30 in stereo. But I don't travel with that rig. That's a studio rig, and I don't even bring that to the studio anymore. It's too much.
Yeah, no. I'm tired of it, of going around like that. You know what I mean? So, like I say, so I have the 112 and the head. You know what I mean?
And what made you fall in love with the Mezza Barba? This is a guitar. I love these questions because this is the guitar player in me asking it.
Yeah, what made you fall in love with the? Well, I joined a band, great classic band called The Babies. I don't know if you guys remember The Babies. So when I joined The Babies, I wanted to have a good tone.
Right.
And I do have still, is it in here? No, it's in my garage. I have a 73, the last version before they switch of all point Marshall Super Lead.
Wow.
Super Bass.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Because Paul Kossoff used to use the super bass. And I was a fan of Paul Kossoff. So I wrote my Marshall with the steel Mueller old tubes, which makes a big difference, man. So I have Mueller tubes in there and all that. And this thing sounded great. But I didn't really want to take it on the road with The Babies because if it's going to be dropped or somebody's going to steal it, something, I said, man, shit. You know what I mean? This thing, like you hear that really nice when I was playing the little ballad from the video. See how nice that clean sound was?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know. So I said, I don't want to take it on the road. So I live in the valley close to Bogner. I'm minutes away from Bogner.
Yep.
Minutes away from everybody else, man. You know what I mean? That it's here, you know, with amps.
Boutique amps, yeah.
Yeah, boutique amps. And so I said, okay, let me try. Let me go around. So I plug one thing, I plug another. And then I don't remember how. I might have seen it at the NAMM show. But I plug into the Mezzo Barba, and two things that I liked out of it. Because, you know, other amps sounds good. Like the Bogner, I'm friends with the guy. Great amps, you know. He gave me a beautiful amp, you know, that I still own. And, you know, Sur amps, they're all good, man.
Yes.
You know, but the Mezzo Barba did what... there was something really important that I thought it was very, very important. And it was better than all the other amps that I tried in. Because the effect loop, because I use the effect loop a lot. Because I have reverb and delay in the loop.
Right.
It's part of my main sound. And more than one, like on the Marshalls, the effect loop is transistor. It's shitty, man. You plug in, it eats up the sound.
Right, right.
Some other amps are the other way. Too sophisticated. They got the send, the return, the volume, try to balance up, you plug the fucker in, and your gain is not the same. Things change.
Right.
I didn't like it. And when I plug in my digital delay pedal inside the Mezzo Barba, it was like I didn't plug it in. Nothing changed. Absolutely nothing. Zero. Right? So I could have it in and out, on and off, made no difference. So wow. Whatever sound I had, I had it. And I did ask. I did ask the engineer. I said, hey, man, you know, what's up with this deal? He said, well, listen, the way I design it is that the sound that you're getting, it, without being nothing in, it's already going through the tube. It's analog, for one thing. So there's an extra tube, which is good. But I said, but the sound goes in there, including that one. It's on all the time. It's part of the sound. So you just have to turn it on and off with nothing changing, because even if you don't plug in, you're getting the same sound.
Wow.
That's a pretty good idea.
Good idea.
Pretty good idea. And the other thing that I liked, and it's weird because he couldn't really explain it to me. It's almost like a mistake that the way they design it in a way, because if you don't know this, you freak out. Because what happened to these amps is like, once you find your tone, from your gain, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know, let's say you want to do some AC/DC gain, or then you want to have, you know, channel 2 with more distortion. Once you find that thing, on a lot of amps, especially my Marshall, the more you turn the master up, things change.
Yes.
Things change, man. Things change, right? And this Mezzo Barba, doesn't matter what you do.
Wow.
So you can be bedroom volume. You crap a little bit more. You can crap up for a gig. It's the same sound, man.
Wow, that's cool.
Did you see the loud or no loud? Same sound.
Is that, do you think the wattage has a lot to do with that? Because 75 watts.
No, I think it's, he never told me that maybe it was a mistake or whatever. However he designed it, because the thing is this. Once you use on the Mezzo Barba, the volumes from the volumes themselves on an amp, if you want to play a little bit loud, you go 3, 4, 5, you know, blah, 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 like that. The Mezzo Barba, you can't. You can't go to 4 or 5, man. The most mean tone, impossible, everything, it's a 1.5, 2.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you got your master that you go up and up, right?
Right.
And because if you go at 4 or 5, because you think, oh, I'm going to go up, you know, made it distort more. No. It's designed that once you open up the channel volume, like with Eric Stecker, when I play with Eric plays as loud as fuck, man.
Right.
His volume is still a 1.5. We laugh about it all the time.
That's great.
1.5, 2. 1.5, 2. And then the master goes up. And it brings the same volume up and down. So I like that a lot, man. I said, oh, wow, I can get my tone and I can just dial in the volume.
Right.
The volume that I like. And plus, I like the fact that this particular one that I tried, which is an option that comes with it. The standard doesn't have it, but it had an option with 2 master volumes. And so the fact that I can play I'm playing All Along the Watchtower.
Right.
I have maybe my guitar volume down a little bit, a little bit cleaner. Then I can crank it up naturally, get more. But now I want more volume because I want my lead to come out. And most likely, if I'm playing at the Canyon Club and I'm looking at the sound man, if he's not the sound man, my sound man, the dude is either drinking a beer or looking at somebody's big tits. Yeah,
so true.
Right? Right? And so my fucking solo, you don't know.
Yes.
Right? So you know, with the two masters, I just click the second master. I got the volume that I up in 3-5 dB. My solo goes up. The tone doesn't change.
So it's like having headroom and overdrive in the end.
And so they're built like a rock, man. They're built in Italy, man. Italian people, you know. I think it's close to where they build a Lamborghini or something.
That's awesome.
You know, they're proud. They're proud. You know, they run right the right stuff. So yeah. So I'm very, very happy with that.
Company I know of is, I just discovered them. They're called Alessandro. And I think,
well, yeah, Alessandro, yeah. Well, Alessandro has been around for a long time.
Yes.
He's one of the first guys that really wants to build classic stuff.
Yes.
You know, no higher up, you know, expensive and all of that. But pure tone and everything. Yeah.
I really like the two rock ants. Those are two of my favorite.
Yeah, with the tone. Yeah, I agree with the two. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But the Mezza Barba that I have since I grew up with, even though I'm blues based, I'm sort of classic rock as well.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not only blues. So it's easy for me to go beyond AC/DC and go White Snake every day.
Right. Right.
And so I need a little bit more of the saturation, a bit more of that compression. You know what I mean?
I wanted to play that clip of you with Eric Steckel. You played bass with Eric Steckel.
Yeah.
Talk about that, because you're this extraordinary guitar player, but you're also playing bass with Eric Steckel, which is just a marvelous thing. I mean, that's like, I don't know how you're doing, you're wearing both hats. But this is an extraordinary thing, and I want to talk about it. Here is JP Cervoni playing with Eric Steckel.
We'll be right back.
awesome. Just great playing, great pocket. Yeah. Now I gotta ask, like, you're a guitar player, and I love that you're laying it down on the bass. But when you hear Eric Steckel play, does it make you want to grab your guitar and be like, "All right, kid, I can show you some things too"?
No, you know, actually, no. Me and Endo do play guitar together, though. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, we do. We do it here home, where you see me here now. He's here often with me. We saw them. We do non-professional videos, so we just jam around and play all the time and all of that.
That's awesome.
No, I know, because you know, I'm older, man. And I go, I look at Eric just working his ass off up there. Is it a fuck? Yeah, you go, boy.
Like, you lead the train. You do the drive.
I'm just laying it down. But you know, it's not a normal way to play bass with Eric,
right?
Because Eric has got a lot of chops,
right?
And it was a happy accident that I ended up playing bass with him, because that song is pretty basic. Okay, you know, it's groovy and it's got a nice riff. Some of the stuff we play, man, because we have a drummer that is more like Dave Weckl,
right?
You know what I mean? It's not John Bonham, but like, you got chops.
I saw him play maybe 2 years ago at Maui.
Okay, you saw it, right?
Yes.
Three people with a big sound, man. And so what's fun for me is the fact that, of course, I can lay it all down, but when we do, as you saw, some of the heavy licks, the guitar heavy licks and everything, since I'm a guitar player and I got chops myself, I can follow him. We can double up.
Right.
We can go back and forth and everything like that. We're a normal bass player, not to turn down a normal bass player, but a guy that plays with his fingers, boom, 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 and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He can't keep up with those chops, man. It's hard for a real bass player. It's like my bass is not even a real bass. I have a student kid bass from Ibanez, $160 bass, because it's smaller, it's more like a guitar.
Right.
But the neck is a little bit smaller, you know, because if you get my, it's just like a guitar. Picture the size of more or less of what a guitar and everything, but it's bass. So,
do you play with a pick?
Both.
Okay, you do fingers too.
Mainly with the pick.
Okay.
When you play the song that you hear to have that boom, 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 that's with the fingers.
Oh, that was with the fingers. Okay.
Yeah, that's with the fingers. But the fast licks that we play, I have to play with the pick, because I'm playing more like a guitar player.
Right.
And like right. I said, you know, and it's difficult for a like my bass player that plays in my Hendrix band. He would have a hard time playing with him because of the chops, because of the licks, the guitar licks that I know how, because I can play guitar.
Right.
So it's a fun gig for that.
Well, and he must also appreciate having a guitar player who's playing bass, because you speak the same language, you know.
Speak the same language, yeah. Yeah, because we think about tone all the time the same, you know.
Right.
Always searching for the right tone, you know, and all that kind of thing, yeah.
Well, I want to play more of your music. What do you want to play next? Your choice.
I think you got Breakaway, one of my songs. I remember meeting, not meeting. In line at the Trader Joe, next to where I live. I was there shopping, coming out, and Bobby Kimball from Toto, the singer, the original guy.
Yeah.
He's there, so he comes in, and I just finished working with Simon Phillips, which at the time he was playing drums with Toto. And I say hi to Bobby, because I recognize him. I didn't know him, just standing in the same line. I say, Bobby, hey, man, just finished recording with Simon. First thing he says, oh, I hate Simon. I said, Bob. Okay, man. Shit. So he's been in the band for 12 years. I don't know. Right? And so we talk a little bit and everything. I didn't really make a connection other than just say hi. And I said, you know, I'm a fan. And but I had him in mind, reminding myself, wow, what a great singer this guy is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, gee, the early Toto shit, man.
Yes.
So I wanted to. So it inspired me to come home and I wrote this song. Right. I wrote this song. Somehow within my mind, I said, I'm gonna probably see the dude again, because if he's shopping a Trader Joe, he lives here somewhere. You know what I mean? I said, next time I see him, I'm gonna tell him. I'm gonna say, hey man, I wrote a song with you in mind. Let's go record it. That was my intention, right? But this song that you hear, this is my version. it's me playing guitars, keyboards, and bass.
Okay.
No. You know something? It's Tony Brock from The Babies, Rod Stewart, and Phil Soussan, my buddy. Phil Soussan is the Ozzy Osbourne bass player.
Yes. Kind
of Ozzy, Phil. Phil, because we had a band together. And so that's my version. But interesting enough, this song has got a little bit of history. Interesting. My friend Willie Bass, that passed a couple years ago. Willie was the original bass player when I joined Buddy Miles. Right, so Willie, we ended up being friends. You know, we played together, and I moved to LA. You know, get it all together. He had his own very famous band. He was more of a rocker than a blues guy. Black Eye, totally rocker, right? Just rock, man. Metal, rock, Motley Crue, you know, Iron Maiden, rock dude. And he had a really famous band called Black Sheep at the time. He was one of the first on the strip that you had to be a good guitar player to be in his band. Like, it was a rite of passages, actually. Exact word that Slash used, because Slash on his book mentioned Willie. He said, oh, yeah, one of my first gigs was with the Black Sheep with Willie. It was a rite of passage. If you were good enough, then you could play with Black Sheep. And the guitar player in Black Sheep was Slash, me, Mitch Perry, and Paul Gilbert.
Wow.
Right. So those were the guitar player in that band. Right. Yeah. It was one of those deals. And Willie asked me for a song, and interesting enough, I said, well, okay, listen to this song. And, I mean, it was an honor for me to let him do it. And he went to record it. Willie played bass. Mitch Perry and George Lynch played guitar.
Wow.
And produced by Glenn, what's his name? The guy that produced Led Zeppelin and Van Halen. He died
not too long ago. Glenn Johns.
Right. And Glenn Johns. So Glenn Johns produced it. Mitch played it. George and my friend Willie on bass and vocals. And they have their own version of it. But this, what you're hearing now, is my version of the song.
Well, let's hear
this sound, like I said, you know, I come from the blues, but I can definitely sit in White Snake UFO every day, man. So right. That's it. That's what this is, right? Rainbow, you know, that vibe. The
song's called Breakaway, right?
There you go.
Here we go. JP Cervoni with Breakaway.
Down this lonely road, I've lived my life on the edge.
sounded awesome. Definitely hear the White Snake influence for sure.
White Snake and a little bit of Rainbow or something like that. Yeah, let it be White Snake. Yeah.
And what are you playing through when you're for that track?
Oh, that one was my Marshall, I'm sure.
It sounded fast, actually.
That was a Marshall, probably with my EV speakers, which I blew up. Good speaker though. The lead EV, good speakers. Halfway between a Celestion and a GBL.
Well, let me ask you: when you're chasing guitar tones or solos, I know Hendrix is a major influence, but who else are the major influences for you?
Mike Pinera from a band called Blues Image before he went to Alice Cooper. I think he played with Iron Butterfly as well. Way later, but at the very beginning when he was young and he had a 335 in this band called Blues Image, which were not that famous, you know. Okay. Lot of his lyrics, when I hear myself playing, I hear them. I hear the licks that I remember from him. You know, licks that I play my way, but
right,
that run, I can tell, you know. Early Clapton, too, up to Crossroads.
Yeah.
I can play Crossroads, you know, the live version.
Yeah.
I do it all the time for my friends. And I play it along with him. And you can tell, like, because I'm like doubled him, like perfect.
Wow.
Every single note, every single thing. Like, I'm just, I know every single note.
Solos when you play? Sorry? Do you play his solos when you play it?
Yeah, it's exactly him. Like, that solo, I play with him. Exactly the same. Like, you can unplug him and plug me, it makes no difference.
That's crazy.
I just play that solo, both of them. Not, you know, so
for a show, for just being like amazed at what the vocabulary of it was, because it is not a solo I would probably compose. Do you feel that?
Yeah, no, I think that solo, just like All Along the Watchtower, they're special, man.
Yes.
They're special. You saw me playing All Along the Watcher when I went wah, 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 wah. That's exactly how he did it, man.
Yep. What's crazy, watching your fingers, because it looks so different than how I play guitar, you know? When you're playing licks, I'm like, whoa. Like, even your slides and stuff are just so,
It's weird. It's weird that it works, but it works. I mean, I didn't think about it twice. You know, I didn't even know I was playing upside down because nobody told me.
Wait, so is it because they're only right-handed? Yeah,
because when I'm left-handed, so somebody gave me a guitar on my birthday when I was a kid, and I had it in my room for a long time. And then one day, I just grabbed it, and I'm left. I went, I don't know, which way, man? And so I put it this way, and it felt comfortable for me like that. I didn't know. Then weeks later, somebody saw me playing it. Hey, man, you're playing the guitar upside down. I said, well, yeah, I'm left-handed. It feels good. Yeah, but you're supposed to change the strings. But my answer was, yeah, but I already know House of the Rising Sun, man. Check it out.
You're like, I'm not changing this.
I'm hanging with this. I already got it, man.
But Hendrix didn't change the strings, right?
Hendrix did not change the strings. So many people, even now, when they officially do Hendrix things, even on Netflix and everything, they're like, oh, you changed the string. I said, man, he's so stupid, man. No, he didn't. I mean, come on, man.
Yes.
You know, and
I hear him playing, because you can hear what he's playing and you can tell that that's not standard.
You know? And I think me playing upside down gives me a little bit of a different edge that Buddy Miles really liked. My funkiness, right?
Right.
The way I pick is somehow reverts the words, right?
Right.
But the sounds that I get and everything, it's very funky.
That's awesome.
There is something there that feels good.
Were you listening to like funk or any of that, like kind of growing up? Because it has to seep into your playing if you're listening to it.
No, I grew up with either Rory Gallagher, Paul Kossoff, Leslie West.
Yeah.
Maybe early Pink Floyd, maybe. I had at the same time, and I had a band, right? I had a three-piece band like that, playing Missing with the Kid, You Shook Me All Night Long, all those songs was a three-piece. You know, right. When I'm like 14 years old, playing this stuff. But at the same time, and that's why I fit with Buddy Miles too, because I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that sometimes I will go out with Buddy as a three-piece, or sometimes as a 16-piece.
That's great.
Full horns.
That's great.
And in L.A., I was one of the lucky guys that for a moment in time in L.A., just a few years back, I was lucky to join the meanest band ever existed in L.A., man. It was a one-of-a-kind band that people just freaked the hell out. So you understand, the fans in the audience, not in the band,
right,
would be Michael Landau, Dave Weckl.
Wow.
They were in
the audience.
In front of the band, the audience. The guitar player from Kiss. Those guys, the tall guy.
Yeah.
That's how mean the band was. And this band was just like Buddy Miles' band with 16-piece.
Wow.
Full horns, percussion, keyboard. But so you understand.
Yeah.
Percussion from Santana, George Benson. Horns from Tower of Power. Keyboard player from Toto. Jimmy Earl on bass from Chick Corea. You know, like that. The drummer from Chicago. And I was able to join that band because I could play with a big band. I knew what it meant to either make a lot of fucking noise and fill up, or just play right in the middle of where you need to be, not to fuck with everything else.
I wanted to ask you. I just did a record with Tony Levin.
October,
and I saw that you played with Tony Levin. What did you play with him on, or what did you record on?
No, Tony Levin came in into a recording session. When I sort of got off the road, I was on the road for a long time, and out of the road, I got a divorce. I lost my house. I lost my car. Whatever, right? That deal, right?
Rock and roll,
exactly. And so I just stopped and opened up a production company. And if you see my wallet, like I have 50 albums on my wall. And so for a window of time, I wanted to just not be on the road no more. Put my feet down, you know, find a nice girl, build up a family, that kind of thing. So I had a big production company. Who was it? I don't know what company it was. It was Frontier or somebody. They gave us a budget to do two albums, Hendrix and something else. But they wanted to hire a bunch of name people.
Right.
So I hire like Steve Lukather, Vinnie Colaiuta, Tony. I would just call these guys and pay them and do a session so they would play a song. You know, like, oh, yeah, it was Led Zeppelin and Hendrix. So I don't remember where Tony played on me, but he probably played maybe one of the Led Zeppelin songs, you know, that kind of thing. I was just a producer.
Well, I mean, it's awesome because I just had to ask because I it was a joy to work with them.
Oh, you don't understand, man. I'm such a big fan, you know. It doesn't pass a week or so that I put up Elephant Talk or something by King Crimson and see Tony go. I mean, unbelievable.
I asked him to do Funk Fingers on a track and Chapman on a track. Because it's like, that's what he's known for, you know?
Yeah, that's his gig, man.
Yeah. Well, where can people find you if they want to find you online?
You know, go to my site, JP's... Cervoniband.com, www.cervoni, C-E-R-V-O-N-I, band, one word, .com. Or, you know, I teach a lot. You know, I teach a lot via video. I used to teach at GIT. You know, do shows there. Anybody's interested in learning how to play some rock and roll bass or guitar, classic blues rock. And if they can hit you and ask him, just pass my email, which is jp@jpcervoni.com.
You got it.
They can email me and just get in contact from there.
Happy birthday. I know today's your birthday.
Thank you, man.
And you turned 25 today? You
must have
turned
26.
Well, happy 26th birthday.
I don't count the numbers no more. You get to a point that it's like you go, you know what I mean? Like,
many happy returns of the day. Thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to have you come back in about 9 or 10 months. So, man. Out to you, and we're going to showcase more of your music.
Yeah, well, we can do it with me and Eric Steckel too.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love to do that. Let's do that
anytime, because Eric is with me all the time.
Well, we'll have to jam too and make some.
Yeah, we'll have to definitely... anytime. Just come over. You can come over to my place anytime, man. I'm here.
Love to. I'd love to. We'd have to jam.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Very nice. Okay. Very enjoyable. Thank you.
On behalf of JP, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. CervoniBand.com and check him out. Also playing with Eric Steckel. We'll see you guys next week. On behalf of Sam, JP, and I, peace, love. Happy birthday, JP.
Yes. Thank you. Yay. Bravo. Ciao. Ciao. Ciao.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence right here on LA Talk Radio.